This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing. From the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, hello, everybody. How are you?
Oh.
Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
It is presented by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalise in.
Come get some!
Yeah!
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Because I'm gutless and I have no guts. That's what gutless is.
That was great.
I thought so.
Michael again. Oh, sorry, Don. Go ahead.
I was just saying he described it well.
Do you want to be a god or a clod?
Can we make that a segment somehow?
I just don't know how. I've been thinking about it.
Well, I mean, we have to replace Would You, so. God or Claude Wednesday doesn't really ring.
It doesn't work.
You can have more than one. It doesn't have to be tied to a day. But if you had to use Claude in this sentence, Michael.
You're an insensitive Claude, and I hope you fall and break your neck.
That's unfortunate. Wow. Good evening to Don.
I know.
I like that one. That one's a good
one.
What
was that about, Don?
I don't even know.
It was...
You said you know.
It was when we were talking about you're taking it too seriously or whatever, and you said, I know.
Wow.
So there you go.
That was today? I don't even remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Busy day.
A lot happened today.
I think so. I think it was a very interesting day. Very interesting for the Milwaukee Bucks, because they are going to be without Giannis Antetokounmpo for the rest of the regular season after he suffered a calf injury in the third quarter yesterday in the game against Boston. And he's going to receive daily treatment and evaluation. Adrian Wojnarowski was on NBA Today earlier and talked about the impact of the Giannis injury.
This is a Bucks team that was put together to go deep into June. But there's a world where without Giannis Antetokounmpo early in a playoff series that they can fall behind and maybe not be able to catch back up when he comes. They have not played well.
And what is the timeline for Giannis Woj?
Certainly knowing Antetokounmpo, you know, he wants to be on the court and he has a physical tolerance that allows him to play. This organization needs him and they need him early in the playoffs, especially with the way they have played really for the last couple months.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Pain management, that's not the issue here.
You know, you got a call for that, Don.
A call for pain management?
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jay Shah.
That's right. But you know what? He didn't pay for today.
Oh.
What the F?
A lot of people sat out today.
He will not.
Do you want to be a god or a clod?
So he's a clod today.
No. I'm just saying. You get what you pay for.
Dr. Jay Shah.
Oh, no, he's a god. Yeah. Always.
Always.
Dr. Shah. We love Dr. Shah.
He heals people.
He does heal. That's.
Do you want to be a god or a clod?
I know. And if I broke my neck like it was suggested on the Google, then I can go see him.
Dr. Jay Shah. Yeah.
Wait, who suggested you break your neck?
No, we
went insensitive on the Google. Oh, and I hope you fall and break your neck.
That guy.
Gotcha.
That's an unfortunate. That really is out of context.
That wasn't me. That was me reading the Google definition.
Just to clarify to everybody, Michael did not say that. That was him reading something.
Right.
Yeah.
No, just to clarify for one person.
Just to clarify.
Okay.
Guys, Mel Kiper.
Didn't hear from Griffin today.
We didn't hear from Griffin.
And he didn't call and was stuck on hold.
I think he's mad he lost.
Hey guys, how are you?
Well, I think he sounded pretty. He was ready to realize that he was going to lose to a yelling Don.
Well, yeah, but then the reality sets in.
That's true.
He's a loser now.
Oh well, wait a minute.
You know what?
He lost to Don. Well, ergo, loser.
Would you call Wayne Gretzky a loser?
Yeah, when it comes to goat madness, he's a loser.
Would you call Madonna a loser?
Loser.
I got news for you.
Would you call Tom Brady a loser?
I'm going to call Tom Brady a loser, too.
Michael Jackson?
You're going to beat him.
You're going to win, Don.
So it looks like I'm going to go to the final of goat madness.
Now, we know that you and Larry have almost an unnatural friendship. Do you think he's politicking for you during this?
I think Gordon would be, too.
Yeah, I think they both are, sure.
And you don't like
that kind of bastardize the whole thing?
No, listen, I don't think that they're going on the air saying vote for, but I think they're probably rooting for me.
I think they're politicking for you. I think they are going on, vote for Don.
I don't think so.
They have no friendship with Madonna.
But I would
you don't
say
know that.
I don't think New York has any love for Tom Brady. There's still four hours left in voting, and I have a 74.6 to 25.4 lead on Tom Brady, so vote early and often.
And you don't find this distasteful.
And it looks like I'm going to be going against Michael Jordan in the final.
Oh, my.
Because Jordan's up 64.1%.
Move over LeBron.
So
wait. Who's Jordan up against?
Muhammad Ali.
That's a tough one.
There's not nobodies in GOAT Madness except me.
Well, apparently you're not a nobody. Now, the best thing I saw from this, because when I noticed that Don had moved on, I retweeted Gordon's tweet, and all of the tweets are on Gordon Damer's Twitter, at Gordon Damer, to vote in GOAT Madness.
That's D-A-M-E-R.
That's right. I said it's Don versus Tom, and if everybody remembers the side talk video from when the Knicks beat the Celtics in double overtime, I think it's 2 years ago now, on the opening night, and all of the yelling and screaming that came from that, a lot of people were very upset at Tom Brady for some reason, and they put that video up showing that everybody's on Don's side here. New York does not like Tom Brady.
Yeah, they're not big Tom Brady guys.
Bing bong!
So go out and vote, but I think, Don, you're okay. I think you're going to be okay here. I do.
Well, I'd be honored to win, just like I was honored to win Drop Madness here.
You think you're going to pop on? If you win, a little celebration.
If they invite me, I'm not just going to call in.
No, I mean...
You've done that before.
Well, I already heard they're going to get Jordan.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to get Tom, so they're going to have you.
Well, I'll be driving home from the Ranger game tomorrow. Maybe I'll pop on.
And Layla Ali will represent Muhammad Ali.
There you go.
Yeah. Mel Kiper Jr. on Get Up, talking about Mock Draft 4.0, something interesting that he had, which he doesn't usually do, for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, get Malik Nabers for Daniel Jones to try to help him and develop and build on what he did 2 years ago when he won a playoff game against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. It looked like he was moving forward to be an elite quarterback. Well, injuries, obviously, team around him, problems there. So you get the insurance. So you get Brian Daboll says, okay, I get the receiver to help Daniel, but I also get some insurance moving up to get Bo Nix. Bo Nix is 24. Bo Nix has a gazillion starts. J.J. McCarthy's just 21 years of age. Now you get a guy more NFL ready. You get a guy that, hey, if Daniel Jones gets injured or he doesn't take that next step, then you have Bo Nix waiting there to reset things and become that guy. Well, the neighbor said quarterback-wise, they said they're going to address it at some point. May not at six. Maybe a wide receiver there, but then you go back up and get the quarterback. Will Levis, Tennessee moved up and got him last year early in the second round. Similar situation here with the Giants moving up to get Bo Nix.
I'm not sure I love Bo Nix.
No.
Trading up to get Bo Nix, mind you.
And you know what it does? Here's what I think it does, Don. I believe it gives them 3 years of Daniel Jones. Bo Nix isn't ready to play. So no. If Daniel Jones is healthy, he's going to play out the other 2 years of that contract.
Well, here's what I need to know. If they love Bo Nix,
right,
but they understand that nobody else does, so they're not going to draft him high, try to get more value drafting him in the second round. That's good.
Yeah.
If they don't like him, then don't draft him. Like, to me, it doesn't become more attractive the lower in the draft. If you don't like the quarterback, then you don't draft him. I don't care if you draft him in the seventh round. If you don't like him, don't draft him. So, because, right, Michael, they have other needs. I mean, at 33, you can draft somebody that can help you right now. If they like him, draft him. If you don't like him, don't draft him. Like, I don't see the attractiveness in taking a quarterback you don't love because it ends up being later on in the draft. Unless you're just going to take a flyer late and hope. But you don't poke and hope at 33 overall.
No, they must love him.
And
but, you know, they look...
The Jets did that twice.
Here's the big decision they're going to have. Let's say they love J.J. McCarthy again. I keep hearing that, you know, teams are going to trade up. Like, Minnesota might trade up to get J.J. McCarthy with the fifth.
That's what Mel has in his most recent.
That's what Mel has, right?
Yep.
Well, what if they don't? What if he drops to the Giants? Do the Giants then take J.J. McCarthy and not have a weapon for Daniel?
If you like J.J. McCarthy and you think he's the future, you gobble him up. But if you're not sure, then take the better player, Michael. Like, the fact that you need a quarterback, this is not sustenance where I need to eat, so I'm going to go to the supermarket and get food. I need a quarterback. I've got to go out and get the right quarterback. Just don't take a quarterback because you need one. What if they don't like any of the quarterbacks? What if Caleb Williams is the only one they love? Well, they know they can't get him because they can't trade up the one, so take the best possible player at six. Now, if you like a quarterback but you think you can get him later, well, then you roll the dice, you take a chance. That's part of being a good general manager. But all of a sudden, a quarterback that I don't believe has a future doesn't all of a sudden develop into having a future because you took him in the second round.
And by the way, because of the way that Mel has shaped this, you now get the second best, in the minds of what you would be the Giants, the second best non-quarterback in this draft. Because the only player that isn't a quarterback that's taken in the first five picks is Marvin Harrison Jr., and he goes to Arizona.
Right.
And I've heard from a lot of draft experts that Neighbors might be better.
So you'd possibly get, in some people's eyes, the best wide receiver in the draft. And then you'd trade, according to Mel, what it would have to take was this year's second to move up the spots and next year's second to draft
Because
Bonex.
The Giants had 2 seconds, and they used the other one on Burns.
Right.
Yep, to get Burns.
So they only have one, so they'd have to trade next year's as well.
But even looking at the numbers that they use, Michael, mm-hmm. for draft equivalency.
Oh, we should take a look at that.
The 2 second-round picks would be an overpay.
Yes.
To move back into the first round. So that's probably why they dealt one of the second-round picks, because they can use something else to for a better numerical value. Yeah, I had that. I'm going to see if I still have it in
my
bag.
They don't think they have to move into the first round to get Bo Nix. They think they have to move up to the top of the second.
Yeah, but isn't that first round of Jace like the 33rd pick?
I guess. You can look at it that way.
We could always we'll find that pick values chart, but I just thought it was interesting. Something that would be interesting to Peter is that the Commanders do take Jaden Daniels. Brian Kelly almost confirmed it in an interview a couple weeks ago. You hear that?
Yeah.
So he's going to fit great in Washington? That was strange. Drake May goes to the New England Patriots. I mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver to Ohio State. The Vikings trade with the Chargers to get J.J. McCarthy. Malik Nabers goes to the Giants. At 10, the Jets take
Brock Bowers.
That's right. He's been linked there a lot. Now, you have to wonder,
they're saying that he's otherworldly, off the charts great.
Yep. 2-time Mackey Award winner for best tight end. And people say he could, and Mella said this too, that he could play anywhere and do anything.
It's a weapon. You need a weapon.
Absolutely. So that would be something that would be interesting for the Jets. And I don't think fans would be upset about that. Maybe they'd want an offensive lineman. But yeah, Mel Kiper Mock 4.0. Take a look at that. It is on ESPN Plus right now if you want to take a look.
So does he get 5 eventually? One right before the draft?
I believe John Winthrop told me that they said this was going to be his last one. I thought he gave one out morning of the draft.
I think so, too. I think Winthrop is wrong.
Oh, my. So we'll take a look. But that could be the last one before the draft in 2 weeks now. We're very close, guys. Very, very, very close.
Yeah, it
very
happens
close.
Pretty fast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
John Calipari officially hired as the Arkansas men's basketball coach. A 5-year deal with a salary beginning at $7 million per season. The deal contains 2 automatic rollover years for NCAA tournament appearances that would extend the contract to 2031. And it includes a $1 million signing bonus, $500,000 retention bonus, and in Kentucky, he made $8.5 million a season. So,
yeah, why? He wasn't being fired. Well, what's this about?
Well, no, he said they need a new voice. Mark.
Okay. Oh, so he's going to be altruistic to make $8.6 million, and he's going to drop to $7 million because they need a new voice.
Need a voice. Inhale some helium. Talk with a high voice during halftime.
One of those, okay, I'll play alongs?
And I thought, like, why not go back to the NBA, right? I mean, he wasn't awful in the NBA. That was 30 years ago, but that's why. There's no NBA team that would pay him $7 million a year.
You know what? Some NBA coaches make a lot of money, though.
Yeah, but not 7.
Look at Monty Williams. He's making more than that.
Yeah, but is there an NBA team?
I don't think so now. Not at 60 years old.
No.
I don't think so.
But it is kind of, if Arkansas, well, good luck. I mean, I give him credit. He's gone, UMass early in his career, but Memphis, he loves to coach.
You know what I think it is, Don? I mean, it's a different world now. So this is what I believe it is. With the Walton money and the Tyson money, he has an unlimited NIL budget.
Right.
And as big a school and as big a blue blood as Kentucky is, they're limited compared to what Arkansas could give players. So he probably read it and said, I can't continue to bring kids in without paying them, and I got a better chance of paying them with the Walmart money and with Tyson chicken money than I do with anybody in Kentucky.
It could almost be exactly that.
Yeah.
Because you'd almost consider it a lateral move, if not a step down, depending on if you consider Kentucky a blue blood or not. But you're in the SEC still, and now you're going to be able to compete in the SEC with apparently a bigger budget for NIL.
And Arkansas is not nobody.
Not nobody at all.
There's a history there.
So that's interesting. Something else, Michael, we have another possible relocation situation.
Talk
about this time with the NHL. As you know, Don and I have talked about it a lot on Game Misconduct. Download wherever you get your podcasts. The Arizona Coyotes are trying as best as they can to stay in Arizona. They're trying to build their own arena, find a place for this arena, and it's just not coming to fruition, it seems like. And now there's a report, sources tell ESPN, the NHL is preparing a contingency to relocate the Coyotes to Utah next season. Apparently, while they're making the schedule this offseason, they will be creating two schedules, one in which the Coyotes are in Arizona and one where they are in Utah. First reported by the Daily Faceoff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel bad for Arizona fans because it does seem like they really do want to keep this team here. But unlike the A's, the Arizona has tried their best to keep this team in Arizona, and I just don't know if it's going to pan out.
And Utah makes sense, Michael. It's a nice market. It can stick. It can keep them in the Central Division so they don't have to realign.
Keep the name.
And they can keep the name because we looked it up during the Game Misconduct podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. There are Coyotes in Utah. A lot of them.
This is what you get.
There's not Jazz in Utah, so it doesn't really matter.
So that tells you they don't have to change
it. That is when I said that. That's exactly what Don said today. You guys have worked together for two.
I don't know if it's too long, but it's been a long time.
Well, you can finish each other's sandwiches.
We have the same
sentences.
Brain.
Except when it comes to Woodja.
Oh, boy.
And general intelligence. But as far as talk show is concerned, I think we share the same brain.
Would you like to hear Michael Pierre Laviolette's reaction to the hit? Oh, no, you're good.
No, I won't.
Okay.
It's fun to say, though, isn't it?
I was well, Mika Zibanejad was hit by Adam Pellick in the middle of the ice in the third period, and Pierre Laviolette did not like it.
He came back at the end from that vicious hit. Yeah, he came back. That vicious shoulder elbow to the head. Watch it.
You think it was intentional that it wasn't a collision?
I do.
Vicious. Now, it was vicious, but it wasn't...
Not intentional.
It wasn't malicious.
But vicious suggests that there was intent. And I don't see it, and I can't find anybody else other than other, you know, Ranger fans that want to agree with Peter that agree with it. I mean, I went into the post-game show only wanting to hear Peter tell us if Mika was okay.
And he was on the bench.
And I was surprised to hear that he said, you know, vicious hit. I mean, because the analysis in real time seemed to be that it was an accident. Now, they were off today. Maybe he gets a second glance at it before the game. He says something. I don't know. But unless he can see intent, because he did play defense in the National Hockey League, just 12 games, but he was a defenseman. Maybe he sees something in Pellick that he was able to make it seem like it was an accident, was intentional, but nobody else picked up on it.
And Patrick Waugh agrees with you, Don. Hmm. He didn't see anything with the Pellick-Sabanishad collision.
I don't know why we're talking about this, quite honestly. Well, I'm just a little surprised because it was clear in my mind that it was accidental. So, I mean, we could talk about it for an hour if you want to, but I think we're wasting our time. It was accidental. That's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all. Well, they play on Saturday. We'll see if everybody still feels the same way.
And he said that sometimes, like almost apologizing for Laviolette, that sometimes in the heat of the moment you say things.
Well, I'll put it this way. The Trocheck hit was far more egregious on the hit on Trocheck. And if you want to equate the two things and just say, yeah, that frustrated me. You know what else frustrated me? That other thing. I could see that.
But even the Dobson play, guys, it wasn't vicious. It was just a penalty they didn't call. The problem I have less of a problem with Dobson. I have more of a problem with Kelly Sutherland not making the call. But I don't want there to be all the histrionics. Like, I know the fans love it, and you have a bloodbath on Saturday. The Islanders have a game to win to make the playoffs. The Rangers have a game to win to solidify first place in the Eastern Conference. Let's not make it a clown show, okay? What happened with the Devils, that was one thing. I understood there was a pound of flesh to be had. But what are you going after? The only problem you should have if you're a Ranger fan is Kelly Sutherland not making a call. So are you going to go after Pellick for standing there? Just because one person felt that he was, it was egregious. But listen, Rempe should probably play. I'm not saying that, but let's not make it a clown show, please.
Speaking of stories that have kind of been swept under the rug, Don, you brought this up probably seems like almost a month ago on ENN. Jonte Porter, who was caught by the Toronto Raptors, possibly betting on himself
right.
for props in basketball, Michael. Have you heard this story?
No.
So he's currently, Jontay Porter is currently under investigation, the brother of Michael Porter for the Denver Nuggets, following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months involving his own props. And there was a story about what had happened. There were games where the under on his props hit, and after a minute of play, he said he had a headache and stopped playing, and so many things that would seem utterly egregious. And Adam Silver agreed. He spoke today and called it a cardinal sin. He was at the Board of Governors meetings in Midtown. "I have enormous range of discipline available to me," Silver said. "But it's a cardinal sin, what he's accused of in the NBA, and the ultimate extreme option I have is to ban him from the game."
He has to be banned from the game if he did it.
If this happened, what else can you do?
You have to. He can never play basketball in the NBA again.
Crazy
Also, how dumb could the guy be to do that?
It just seems like it's so, like, you know, the most profitable, and also, like, well, the most profitable prop today was Jontay Porter. My question is, and all due respect to Jontay Porter, he's an NBA player, I'll never make a professional sport in my life, why does DraftKings have Jontay Porter over-unders for points and rebounds and assists? How many minutes does this guy play a day?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Very interesting story, something we'll have to keep an eye on. Packers-Eagles, the Friday night game in Brazil, week one. The first ever game in South America will be played in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th, one night after the traditional season opener involving the defending Super Bowl champions. It'll be the first time since 1970 the NFL has played a Friday night game in week one. Michael, we talked about this while you were away. Monday night, Wednesday night because of Christmas, Thursday night, now Friday. There'll be Saturday games and Sunday. All we need is Tuesday. And the NFL will have officially taken over every day of the calendar.
The more days you play, the more packages you could sell to television networks. So it's going to happen. And by the way, don't you think it's a natural, Don? ESPN has to send Sal Palantonio to that game so he can say, reporting from Sal Pal, this is Sal Pal.
You know what? Is it any
he follows different? The Eagles.
No, listen, they sent Windhorst to France for a 30-second interview. What's the difference?
That's very. Can we do point guard again? That's going to do it, guys, for ENN today.
Thoroughly.
It was brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Dodge Power Shot Days, Jeep Celebration Event, and Ram Truck Month.
The big dilemma for Don, no Met game tonight because it's rained out. Does he tune into Prime and watch the Yankees and the Marlins?
He refuses,
or does
on
he say, you know what?
Oh,
let me
right,
catch up on Mama's Family.
No, Mama's Family. I do have a lot of Bob Hart Abishola's that I got to
watch.
Is it as good a show now that Bob is thin?
No, it's a little disconcerting, actually.
He's a different person,
isn't
he?
He's a different human being.
It's unbelievable. For Mike and Mom.
Very healthy for him, though. That's
all
that matters.
I'm sure. We're rooting for him.
Yeah.
I know.
In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for a goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.